turn those frowns upside down. Can I drop something on y'all? I just got this word sitting right there. I did this weird thing that my wife only knows when I do it. I was like, this is good. We're about to go. We're going to go to Philippians 1, chapter 6. But I was sitting there and I had to start looking it up real quick. But y'all remember, do y'all know a guy named Samuel in the Bible? Y'all remember, do y'all know anything about Samuel? You know Samuel? 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, anointed David, first king of Israel. All right, Saul, anointed King Saul. Okay, good. Do y'all remember they brought him up as a child to the prophet? They as soon as his mother weaned him, they brought him up. This is going to have a relevant, it's going to tie in, I hope, to the message. This is brand new, it's fresh out. Do y'all like fresh out the press stuff? Now coming on the wire, you know. That's what just happened. God shot a download straight out of glory right there. And I'm sitting there like, what? Wow. And I can't help but preach it or at least share a little bit with you. But listen, Samuel gets moved up there with the prophet Eli, and they're both sleeping. I don't know why I see it this way, but I kind of see it like the old church over here. Right? My grandmother, we were poor. We only had one bedroom in a house, and everybody slept in that one bedroom, all right? So I'm at least giving them two bedrooms in an old country home. Like, this is third world stuff. Samuel's laying there, and all of a sudden, God starts talking to him. Gary, I mean, listen. Hey, Samuel. Samuel gets up. Goes into Eli's room. Hey, what did you want? Ain't that cool? He thought he was God. He was his mentor. He's the guy that's coming up under him. So he thought, man, all he knew of God was the prophet. Hey, man, what, you want something? Eli's like, no, I didn't say anything. Go back and lay down. Did it again. Golly, I don't know why I'm giving this to you. Maybe I'll tie it into the message. I hope so. If not, just count it as bonus preaching. All right. So guess what? So this happens three times. But then he goes in and he's like, hey, what do you want? What does Eli tell him? It's the Lord. Charlie, he said, it's the Lord. The next time you go lay down and you hear that voice, you say, go ahead, Lord, speak. Golly, I don't know why this is so big to me, but it's awesome. Do y'all see the dynamic, though? You got a young man who's getting called into the ministry who don't know how to hear God, but God wants him to do something, so he's speaking to him. And you got an old guy over here who's at the end of his ministry. He knows what to do with the word, but he ain't hearing a word. There's a transition going on. And Eli's not mad at Samuel, and Samuel's not jealous of Eli. They're just on the same team, and they're just at different times in their lives and ministry. Whoa. Sometimes you're going to have to pass the baton to somebody else and let them run with it. You need to encourage, cheer, love. Hey, you're doing great. This is what God's doing. I could preach for 30 more minutes just on that. He didn't go in there and say, now, when God tells you what he's going to tell you, you come back in here and I'll straighten it out. Woo! He just said, could y'all just stay with me one more second? Could y'all imagine Eli? Golly, I'm about to lose my, if I have to take off running, I hope there's another preacher in here. Man, can you see the happy and the sadness of Eli? The happiness is, God's still calling men to speak to his people. Oh, I remember when he spoke to me. I wish it was me getting my first word. Oh, man, I want to run to that thing right there. Ain't that good? That's on the front row. I hadn't read Samuel for a few months now. I don't know. I don't know if I'm just different. I just love Jesus. Aren't you glad when God just taps in? He ain't forgot about us. Golly, bomb. Goodness, that's good. It's good preaching, Kevin. Keep it up. Philippians chapter 1. Got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Y'all ready to learn a little bit more? Man, there's a deep thing in this tonight. I hope I get to it. I will get to it. I hope I bring it out the way. I had a bunch of good notes from last night. I sat down, wrote all of it out in notes, and then I forgot the notebook at home, and I just got that. It's a drawing of the cross. I don't know. And Philippians 1:6. Golly. Don't y'all love me on that stuff? That's insane. Chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We'll read the first 6 verses, and then I'm going to jump out, and then we'll go and get the commentary from our friend Joseph and his ministry tonight, okay? Paul and Timotheus, that's Timothy. Are y'all seeing that? Okay. The servants of Jesus Christ. Do y'all like that? Do y'all notice what Paul does every time? He does this great and wonderful thing. He's always a bondservant, a servant. He's always saying, I'm in love with Jesus. And the apostles, the people who had written the Bible, never fell out of love with Jesus. They never got over getting saved. They never got over it. Dude, if you can get over getting saved, you better check up. I'm serious. If you ever get over the fact that God loves somebody like you, man, check up. Hey, have you ever noticed what a lot of people always say, Jesus wouldn't, or Jesus didn't, or Jesus would have? Y'all ever get that? You ever get that? Why don't everybody ever compare themselves to the apostles? Amen? The people who had sin and had been forgiven of sin, and after they got saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, always reverenced Jesus, and they always hated their sin, and they always loved the fact that God was still using them. Whew. Man. Jesus wouldn't do this. Jesus wouldn't do that. Just look at some people who got touched by Jesus. Paul had one encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and he was never the same. He was never the same. He was about God's business the rest of his life. Amen? I will probably relate to that a little bit on, or refer back to that. Christ Jesus at Philippi. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Man alive. This is just a letter to the church at Philippi. And man, he said, Jesus, Lord, God, peace, joy, grace. In the first 2 sentences. Man, could you imagine how they talked? I think people could have got saved just standing around these folks. Amen? Their common form of information was all about Jesus. Amen? Listen to people when they talk. Listen to people when they preach. Listen to people when they're talking about godly things. Does Jesus become the main issue? Does salvation become the main issue? I've told you I've done this a few months ago. On the radio that we have, they put a Billy Graham channel on there. And I was like, oh, man, a Billy Graham channel. And I had, you know, I listened to a lot of different preachers. I read a lot of different things. But I was like, man, these were back-to-back-to-back Billy Graham messages. I dare you. I dare you to do this. Just pick any 10. Listen to them back-to-back-to-back. By the end of about the 3rd one, you'll want to repent. And if it was even possible, you might want to get saved again. I'm serious. I'm sitting there going, man, you know what we're missing in this country? A true gospel preacher. He preached about the cross. He preached about repentance of sin. And you know who he preached it to? The lowest of the low person and the highest of the high persons. What I loved about him, he would say, after he would get through speaking at certain places, he said, I would have senators, kings, queens, and different people pull me aside as I was walking through the halls of the event where I spoke, and they would say, I need that Jesus that you spoke of. I don't need re-election. I don't need no more campaign money. I don't need no more stature or height. I need what you were speaking about. But if I do that, it would change everything in my life. I would have to give up all the power I've accumulated.
And you know what he would always say? That's what I loved. He goes, you've accumulated no power whatsoever. You have none. You're only going to know true power when you know Jesus. Whew, glory to God. I didn't come to preach. I didn't even feel like preaching when I got here, but guess what we're doing now? Amen. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Ain't that cool to say? When you start thinking about somebody, just start praying for them, thanking God for them, blessing them. Man, thank God for the people he brings in and out of your life. If you have good Christian believing friends and family that come in and out of your life, thank God for them. Pray for them. But also encourage yourself. Let them know every once in a while, I've got this thing that I like to do. Deliver the flowers while they're living. Amen. Don't wait till they're down at the funeral home. Send some flowers today. Amen. Call somebody, message somebody, text somebody, and just say, hey, I appreciate you and I love you. I appreciate you, I love you. That's simple. Thinking about you. You're good. Amen. All right, let's move on. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6 is where we kind of want to land. Being confident. Golly, I love this. Being confident. I'm not confident in a whole lot of things, but I'm confident in this as well. Of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you're sitting in this room, Jesus started that. Nobody can stop that. Whew. Just sit there and rest in that just for a second. Just kind of sit back in that and just go like this. What God started in you, nobody else can end. Whew. Thank God. Amen. But a lot of people can take a lot of things from you, but they cannot take your salvation from you. They cannot take the love of Jesus that he's given for you. Man, I'm glad that. What he began, he's going to finish. Let's read. Watch this right here. I want y'all to get this. That he which hath begun a good work. Who began the work? Okay, good. In you. Where? In. Salvation is an inside job. We'll perform it. What? Perform what? He will bring forth the purpose of your life. What? Until the day of Jesus. Guess what's going to happen? One day on this face of this planet, you are going to draw your last breath. This is how I believe it. This is how I see it. This is what the Bible says about it. One day you're going to draw your last breath on the face of this planet. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go into split mode. That sounded pretty cool. Your physical body is going to go to the ground. And your spirit man is going to go into the heavenlies in the presence of Jesus. All right? That's what's going to happen. Your spirit man cannot die. It's going to be in the presence of God. Your physical man is going to be in the ground somewhere or wherever it dies or wherever it lays, and it's gone, right? One day, there is going to be a shout come. And your body will be called up out of the grave. Good Lord. If I get sideways right here, just bear with me. We'll be called up, the ones that are in heaven first, their bodies, whoo, and with a twinkling eye, everybody else will be called. Gary, I don't know what that looks like, but good gracious, that's going to be fun. Those people that are under the ground or dead are going to get a 6-foot head start on everybody else. Amen? Whew. And then whew, again. And your physical body will be transformed into a new glorified body and your spirit will be reunited with your body. Amen? Whew. And then we'll be standing there in the presence of God for eternity. And we'll all say yes and amen to our salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was worth it. Amen? God finished the work. Y'all good? So listen, what I'm trying to do in this series, what I am begging, what I'm pleading, right now for the next few days, I'm going to be praying, God, start giving me the messages that will make them hungry and desiring to get and receive their calling and to go after it, either in this church or around this church or using this church as a fueling station. All right? It don't have to be here. I want it to be here. I would love to partner with you. I would love to do whatever God's got on your heart to do. But praise God, if you got something that God's got on your heart that has nothing to do with us, come in here like those airplanes, like we got the fueling tank and you fly up underneath us, get filled up, and keep on flying. That'd be awesome. Keep on flying. That'd be awesome. But praise God, I'm going to be praying because, see, there should be some of you in this should start saying, I don't know what it is, but I can't sleep unless I start doing this. I feel like God's nudging me to do this. I want to teach. I want to preach. I want to feed homeless. I want to do something. And praise God, I want it to start happening. That's what I'm praying for. You should already started in this series. Somewhere you should be getting along with God saying, God, what's next? I don't care if you're a councilman. I don't know if you've been here for generations. I don't know if you just walked in the door, if you just joined this year, if you're thinking about joining this church. I hope you're just sitting there going, God, I don't know what you have for me, but praise God, I want it. I hope you're getting real quiet with God. I hope you're talking about all the things that are going on in your life. I pray that you've got forgiveness of your sins. I pray all that, but I hope somewhere at the end of it you're going, all right, God, here for about 5, 10, 20 minutes, I'm going to be quiet. God, you just drop it in my spirit. I want to know. I want an overwhelming, Holy Spirit-led thing that you would have me to do. Amen? You know, do you know what we really need in this church right now? Do you know what we really need? Do you know what a big need in this church is right now? Do you really want to know what that is? Because some of y'all are about to get burdened over this. I shouldn't even drop it on you. We need people that are praying. We need people that are praying before every service. We need people that are praying every night. We need people to pray for the leadership of this church, the services of this church, the singing of this church, the protection of children in this church. We need prayers. We need people. I'm not talking somebody who says, I'm talking about somebody who will come and walk in here and get on your face before God. I don't care if you get together in a classroom and say, we're going to pray for the first 10 minutes of the whole service. I don't know what it is, but God, we need prayers. We need people who will say, you know what? I can't do a whole lot, but I can bombard heaven. Amen? Ain't that neat? We just got one. Okay, mark that one down. So let's go. How long are we going to do the ministry? Until God's done with us, okay? Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. I'm debating whether this is the end of the series or not. We'll know more by Sunday for sure, but who knows. Luke chapter 2, verse 41-ish. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. This is what me and Ed was talking about today. It's good. Is that kind of what we're talking about? Throw that right down there. Put that down there as he's 12. Was it 12 years? Now his parent went to Jerusalem every year, at least Passover. All right, and verse 42 says, and when he was 12 years old. So guess what? That first year of ministry, that rock'em sock'em year or two of ministry, when he was 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, doing all the crazy, remember that? Escaping down into Egypt, running for his life. All of the children 2 and a year were destroyed, all that. Okay, now some things have planed out, and every year for the last 12 years, they've been going up to Passover, right? But there's a sub-point in here. Me and Ed was digging around on this earlier today, and I thought it was pretty cool. He's going up to an Old Testament service with the New Testament or the New Testator. Woo, glory. Okay, to have a testament, you have to have a testator. What that means is you have to have a sacrifice that's acceptable to God to be a testament. Whew. And they had him. Golly, y'all like stuff like this? Do you understand what was happening? From Egypt, from the Passover that brought all the children out of bondage, out of slavery, the Passover lamb was a pictorial of Jesus. It was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. A lamb without bone that's broken, shed without for the whole sins, right? Y'all get it? For 12 years they brought the Passover lamb up too. Golly, I hope y'all get this. They would enter through one of the gates, probably the east gate or the sheep gate. All the gates were named for Jesus. The temple sheep came up from Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The shepherds that were in Bethlehem that come and witness Jesus Christ being born, the reason they were brought is because they were saying, this guy right here is about to put you out of work. Your sacrifice, those sheep will be obsolete when this man dies. Whew. You ever think about when Jesus enters Jerusalem and sees all the sheep that were going up for Pat to be slaughtered, and he looks down at them and maybe in there because, see, he created them. God, I don't want to do sheep noises, Lord. You don't think they recognized who he is? We're the sheep of the pasture. That's the Lamb of God. We are decent sacrifices. He is the sacrifice. Man. Every time he came in the eastern gate, he said, I'm symbolically coming into the eastern gate. One day I'll rise out of the eastern sky and this thing will be over. Oh, glory. That's Jesus. Every time he entered the temple, he was reminded that I will be the sacrifice. 1 year, 2 year old, 3 year old, 4 year old, 5 year old, 6 year old, 7 year old, when he starts to recognize, this is who I am. Glory. He's walking into that temple every, and his mom and dad are taking him up there all every year, giving their sacrifice, but knowing in their heart, oh, we've got God with us. Amen. How could you imagine being obedient to one series of laws and understanding and having God Almighty with you and still staying in bounds? Not getting prideful, not getting built up, not saying, well, we should just go ahead and start worshiping Jesus now and forget that. They didn't get out of order. Ain't that cool? 12 years. 12 years. Their lives never stopped after that 3 or 4 years of, man, this is crazy. We've done our time. Now let's just ride the rest of the time out. Nope. They're still raising Jesus. They're still delivering Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you something more that I think about this message? I think what happened here, this little transition right here, is deeper and harder than running, taking somebody to Bethlehem to have the baby. Having the baby, running down into Egypt, coming back, going through that whole... I think this next chapters are the hardest chapters. Amen? Because watch this right here. Verse 42, verse 43. And when he had fulfilled all the days as they returned the child, Jesus tarried behind him in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not. That doesn't matter. What I was trying to get at right here was, if you look at Joseph, those 12 years, would you say all of a sudden that intensity, when he started off, that intensity drops down, right? Would you say that? Okay, what I'm saying is he's a carpenter. He begins to build things and work on things, and guess what? He's not making hair on fire decisions. He's not running. He's not panicking like, God, I don't know what this is. He kind of knows what this is. This is kind of more normal life than it is. But guess what he's doing now? He's learning who Jesus is. Whew, are y'all good? Have you learned more about Jesus as you've gotten older? Amen. When I first got saved, I had some chaos going on. Amen? I've had more normal days than I have chaos days. I still have a few of those, but for the most part, my life has kind of planed out to a degree. Well, that I've got to know Jesus on a different level than just chaos. He is more than a firefighter with me. He's more than a spare tire. He's more than somebody you run to in a rescue. He's more than, I don't know what I'm doing, God, jump in here. He is now that person that sometimes has to remind me, Kevin, you can do this without me, but why would you? Amen? Can you see this? I hope y'all are getting this. Because, see, he is the Ancient of Days. That's a name for Jesus, by the way. He is the Ancient of Days, but he's seven. Charlie, I got this play in my head that Joseph's in there just working on things and designing things in a third world type, you know, carpenter type mentality. That his stuff's still probably being used than some of the stuff that's down at Walmart will be. Sorry, I threw that out there. That was just a throw in. But if you think about this, you know, I bet there were some days where if he really thought about it, he could probably go over to Jesus and say, hey, could you give me a thought on some of this stuff I'm trying to build or, you know, work on? Because I know you're God. I mean, we don't have to hide it here at the house. We kind of know who you are. You know what I'm saying? But also, he's got to raise Jesus up to a standard that he's got to live in such a way around his home that's totally different. Let me explain it, Terry, this way. Would life be different if Jesus was your son? Oh, gosh, y'all are so awesome. This is good. I bet there'll be a lot less arguments. Okay, at least it would be this. Hey, Mary. Let's go out to the barn. Wouldn't it be awesome, though? Jesus standing right there. I know what y'all going to talk about. I don't look at the things of the outside, man. I look at things of the heart. I'm just kind of joking with you, but I want you to understand. He's raising Jesus, and Jesus is knowing him, and he's knowing Jesus. Then I got to thinking about, man, is his ministry changing? Is his life changing? Are things changing in his life? You know what, as a man, I don't know about you women. I don't. I wish I did. I don't know how women think. I don't know how you process information as you're getting older. I don't. I've got some ideas, but I don't want to float them, right? But I know as a man, it's difficult when you start to lose what you think you're good at. When you begin to slip, sometimes you can overcompensate when you start slipping and you're around people who are not, you kind of like, you might lash out, you might get mad, you might get angry, you might try to belittle them because you've got more head knowledge than they'll ever know. Hey? Because you're changing. But let me tell you this. The more you get into Jesus and the more he gets into you and the sweeter you get down the road with God, you know what you can do? You can learn how to transition to the next thing in peace and be able to reside the fact that God told you you were always going to die. You were always going to lose some things. But you'll never lose the relationship that God has with you, and you'll never lose the value that he sees in you. Whew. Can I tell you, like I tried to sit down with my daddy and tell him. My daddy went right at the end of, near his end of his life, about a year and a half, they took him out of the prison. They come and told him, you'll never be able to go to the prison again. He was upset, and he sat on his front porch and he said, I'm not who I am anymore. And I said, Daddy, you were never a prison minister first. You were a man of God first. You were a saved man of God. And that ain't going to change. God will love you and use you. And he did all the way to the end of your life. Until you're finished here, he will use that. But you are not what you do. Whew. I'm ministering to men all over this house. I kind of wondered when I got up here and looked around the room going, wow. There are stages to life when you can start to think, I'm no good. I'm less than. I'm losing it. No, you're just transitioning into a different chapter of your life, and God wants to use that chapter just like he used the chapter when you were at full strength and full capability and you could do it all. God still wants, matter of fact, God works through your weakness as much as he does your strength. If you'll just lend it to him, if you'll just say, God, I give you my weakness as much as I gave you my strength, you'll be surprised. This takes me back to Macedonia Baptist Church. We were sitting in a meeting, and it was all these young guys, and we had this water issue. It was washing out this ditch line, washing it out, washing it out, washing it out. Nobody could figure out what to do. And all the young men were like, we'll just dig that out, slap a culvert in there, and it'll be done. There was a 93-year-old man in there, and everybody called him Pops. And he couldn't hear. He couldn't hear. He's sitting there, head down. Been there his whole life. Been at the church his whole life. And his grandson? Yeah. His grandson said, let me ask Pop what he thinks. And all the young guys are, you know, he don't know. He's only 93 years old. What could he possibly know? He could know everything, right? All of a sudden, it's a lot louder than this. Pop! He screams. Pop, listen. What? Pop! Do you know the ditch that runs out? They want to put a culvert in there. He goes, don't do that. Why not? There's three culverts in there. They've been washed out. They've been washed out every time. You're going to have to do something different. We put three culverts. three other meetings just like this one. You knuckleheads. They came up with the same idea. They never were going to ask the guy. And when they went to ask the guy, they were upset about it. Sometimes, you know what one of the biggest curses in the Bible is? I will remove the old man from your home. That is one of the biggest curses in the Bible. It's happening in our nation today. We have no men to tell the boys how to do it. And the boys don't want to ask the men how to do it. One thing I learned, golly, can I run that line on out? See, for years of my life, like 30 of them, I thought my dad was my biggest enemy in life. But when I got saved and born again and reunited with my father and we became best friends, I found out something. He is the only man on the face of this planet that's like me. It was almost like talking to somebody who had already walked 10 years or 12, 15 years ahead of me, was talking about stuff, and I was like, that's what I do. That's what I said. That's how I operate. Amen? Can I give y'all one? I know it's dumb. This is a dumb one. Okay, here's a real dumb one. I'm sitting around with my dad one time, and it was after a high school football game, and I garbaged it up. It was a bad game for old Kevin Shelton, right? And I got in the car, and I sat down beside him. He goes, what was wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I was a complete idiot. This happened, that happened. He looked at me, and he goes, can I ask you a question and not think I'm stupid? I'm like, Dad, I don't know. Just go ahead and ask. He said, did you eat? Maybe 30 minutes before the game? And I went, for the first time in my life, right before the game, this family invited three or four of the football players over to their house, and we ate spaghetti. I said, yeah, I ate about two plates of spaghetti right before the game. He said, never do that. Every time I ever ate 30 minutes before a game, I was terrible. I couldn't even do anything on the field. And I'm like, wow. And you know what I figured out? That was it. You know why? He was just like me. So what do we got to do? We've got, the enemy would love to take an older man and say, you're not worth much. You don't know. You can't do what you used to do. Can't do this. Can't do that. Get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? You know what's happened? All that wisdom, all that knowledge, all that how-to, and all that ability to hear God or know that God's speaking and say, hey, do what he says to do is gone. We need to utilize everybody. We need some people who've done it to be able to do it. And I was sitting there thinking while I was preaching that, you women in here, you hear me. I'm going to preach truth to you right here. Y'all know yourselves too. Some of that same stuff I said, you pass it over to your daughters. The thing that the devil wants to do to you, he wants to take your daughters when they're 15, 16, and 17 years old and make y'all stark raving enemies. He wants y'all to turn yourself against each other. He wants to make you look like the bad guy. And we can't get nothing. You know what you should do? Start praying. I'm talking about bombarding them. Pray for them. Sneak scriptures into their stuff. Start getting God involved in the thing and say, God, give me my daughter to be my best friend and my ally as we grow older. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. I have been around some things. Amen. Some of you older ladies can say, we made it through the turbulent times and we become great friends past the turbulent times. Whew, man, do y'all see that? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Joseph had transition times in his ministry. So let's go a little bit further. Here's where I want to end. Whew. Joseph, at the end of this message, at the end of this thing, disappears. He's mentioned in the Gospels, But after this place right here in the Scriptures, he ends. What can we say about Joseph from the beginning to the end of his life and ministry? He was faithful to God. He ends on a good note. Amen? He does everything God has him to do. Guys, I know this is crazy times. 2022 is craziest times. It's awesome to get saved. It's awesome to get involved in a church. But you want me to tell you what is even greater than all that? Finishing. Here's what some of you need to do. Here's a little formula for you, okay? Here's a little formula that I use. I don't know where I'll be a year from now. All right? But there's only three options. Y'all good? Here's the formula. Three options. Number one option, I'm going to be right here preaching my guts out, trying to lead this church. All right? Option two, I'm going to be somewhere else doing whatever God has me to do. Or option three, I'm going to be in heaven. Those are the three options I got. Amen? You got those three options? That's what you need to resign yourself right here. There's only three options. I'm going to be in this church at Flat Top. I'm going to be sold out. I'm going to be involved. Number two, I'm going to be somewhere else, some other church, some other ministry, sold out, involved. Or I'm going to be in glory. And if we're all in glory, praise God, you better hope me and you ain't neighbors. Because there's no reason for sleep in heaven. I'll be over at your house. We'll be hanging out all the time. Are y'all good? Let's all stand.